Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast, designed for insurance professionals and leaders seeking inspiration, bold ideas, and actionable strategies. Our guests are remarkable individuals from various insurance industry sectors, and our host, Nina Shepherd, has been an insurance leader for over three decades. Together, we explore what it truly means to be a bold and impactful leader and find personal fulfillment in the ever-evolving insurance world. New episodes are released bi-weekly on Thursdays. Be sure to follow the podcast on your platform of choice to receive alerts when new episodes drop. Bold leaders, frank dialogue, actionable strategies. Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to welcome the one and only Sheila Grubb to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. Sheila is a second-generation insurance agent with 22 years of experience in the industry. Early in her career, she recognized the value of specializing rather than generalist approach. At the start of her insurance career, Sheila concentrated on the public auto sector, eventually becoming an agency owner. Today, she focuses on providing insurance solutions for assisted living facilities as a sales executive at Plastridge Insurance. While at Plastridge, Sheila earned her CIC and CPCU designations. Sheila has also served as an active board member of the Florida Assisted Living Association since 2017, demonstrating her strong commitment to the field. Good morning, Sheila. Thank you so much for being here. I'm glad we found the time to make this conversation happen.
Hi, Nina. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited too.
I want to start with words of acknowledgement. We've known each other for 8 years, and every time I see you, I'm amazed by the energy and enthusiasm with which you approach every project and even every conversation. We all have good and maybe not so good days, but you seem to have found a recipe to be full of optimism no matter what. There must be a secret. What is it?
Up until about 7 years ago, I was in a really dark place. I was an alcoholic and I quit drinking 7 years ago and got my life together. And through that, I just rewired my brain and I live by a three-letter acronym that has two meanings to me. It's ABG, always be grateful and always be growing. So when the going gets tough, you know, I look for lessons or I just look for things to get grateful for.
I love it. Let's always be grateful and always be growing. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you.
So there's so much out there to be grateful for. It's simple stuff, even a roof over your head.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. Hey, let's get back to the very beginning of your insurance careers. How did it start for you?
Well, I knew I wanted to be an agent at a young age, probably 12, 13 years old. My father was actually an insurance agent. He still is. And he worked for Nationwide. And he always was one of the top people in my life, obviously, as being my father. He won Nationwide Agent of the Year Award 1 year. And it's one of the most prestigious awards you can get. I always looked up to him and I wanted to emulate him so bad. Even from a professional standpoint, he dressed the part, he acted the part, he was so professional and he spoke to people in such a way that I admired. And from a very young age, I knew I wanted to follow in his footsteps.
So did you join his agency at some point?
I worked for him over some summers, but my first insurance job was actually for a TPA in Orlando. I was in the file room. And then after that, I worked as a TA for a large commercial agency where I got my 220. And after that, I left them and started my own agency specializing in public auto. My dad, with all of his connections, he helped a broker get a really good employee and they awarded him with an exclusive limousine contract that he ended up giving to me and I just ran with. Oh. So I ran that agency for about 13 years and then I sold that and came to work at Plastridge Insurance.
13 years. Oh, wow. Must be an interesting time for you, right?
Absolutely was.
Many of our listeners are owners of the business, as you've been. So what do you wish you had known before the sale? Was there something you learned in the process?
Be careful who you choose as your partners is a big thing. My business partner and I were butting heads, but I can't even blame it all on that. It was the dark time of my life when I was still drinking a lot. But in hindsight, I would have chosen a different business partner if that was the one change I had to make.
Okay, I hear you. Yeah, that's always is very important. So you sold the agency, and then at some point you decided to continue your career in insurance, but in a different field. You joined Plastridge.
I did, yes.
Why did you decide to do this?
I have a friend at Plastridge that has been, we had always joked for years that I would work there, and I never took it seriously because I own my own agency. You know, towards the end of the agency's life with me, Uber was coming out and autonomous vehicles were out. I specialized in public auto, so that was a big fear of mine, and my partner didn't want to go into any other avenues. So the Plastridge offer seemed more and more appealing. So when I sold my agency, it was a pretty quick transition over to Plastridge Insurance.
Okay.
And there was a spot for me in the healthcare department. So I just learned a new specialty.
Okay. So tell a little bit about what are you doing at Plastridge today?
I'm a sales executive at Plastridge, and I specialize in healthcare with a focus on assisted living. I'll write the assisted livings in multiple states, but mostly Florida. We're one of the top agencies in the state of Florida now. We insure probably a little over 800 out of the 3,200 in the state. We're a very respected and loved agency. So I love that. It's very important to me.
That's cool. That's
Yes,
cool.
it is.
In hindsight, what would you say are the main benefits of working for a larger agency like Plastridge rather than working on your own, so to say?
Well, my agency was a smaller agency, so I wore a whole lot of hats, and even all the way down to housekeeping. You know, there's people obviously at Plastridge doing other things, and being able to collaborate with people, other agents, bouncing ideas off of them, you know, bringing my ideas to management, and just all the people. They're all such great people I work with. So I've really, you know, made some friends and family along the way too.
Yeah, there is. I've been an insurance agency owner myself, and I find that there is a huge difference between being jack of all trades versus being able to concentrate, to focus on what you need to be doing and what you're doing the best. So that's very valuable in larger agencies. Of course, we're not talking about huge agencies, then it's a different level of complication. Let's put it this way. Okay. So, Sheila, you've been an insurance professional for 22 years. What have you learned about yourself and life through working in insurance?
How important mindset is. This is a pretty stressful industry some days, and there were some days where I would really let it get to me, but getting the proper mindset has really shown me how strong I am in getting through that. I've learned that I'm a lot more courageous and powerful than I used to give myself credit for. That was a big thing for me. Yeah, and through Plastered, I've been a lot more vocal. I used to hate speaking, especially presentations. I don't mind it at all. I actually love long conversations with people instead of getting timid. I've really come out of my shell at Plastridge. It's a huge growth experience for me.
That's awesome. That
Yes.
falls right back to your formula, right?
Exactly. ABG.
Yeah, ABG, always.
Be grateful and always be growing.
Always be growing. That's cool.
This line during COVID that really landed that for me. And it says, instead of asking, why is this happening to me? Ask, what is this trying to teach me?
Yeah.
And that was a game changer for me. Because it takes you out of the victim mindset and takes you into the victor. Okay, let's get this done mindset.
So, from that perspective, what do you consider your boldest achievement in professional life?
My boldest achievement probably is, as funny as it sounds, happened when I was a young agent. I was probably 25 or 26, and I just opened that agency, and I had an opportunity to write a really big limousine account. It was like 60 vehicles, and I was up against some real big agencies. And I took probably, once I got my quotes, I took hours and hours and made the most beautiful proposal. I put graphs in it. I explained the coverages in it. I showed loss ratios in it and just really took my time. And the owner was so impressed, I ended up writing the account. And it was a six-figure account at a really young age. It was the biggest account I wrote at that point in time.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
cool. That's
Yeah.
cool. So do you think about it often when you enter the room full of people of your current prospects or clients? Does that help you?
It does. I think now it's more so the change I've made in my life as far as giving up drinking and focusing on my goals and my dreams and realizing I can get things done when I put my mind to it.
Yeah. Well, that's, of course, is the fantastic achievement. I'm very happy for you. I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah, I feel like a different person. It's nice on this side for sure.
Yeah. Sheila, the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast is created for insurance professionals and leaders seeking inspiration, bold ideas, and actionable strategies. And from that perspective, based on your experience, how would you define a leader in insurance? What skills and qualities insurance leader needs to develop from your perspective?
From my perspective, I would say a leader is someone that leads by example. They do what they say. They don't just say it. They get down and do pretty much anything that's needed to be done with the team. They treat the team as equals. They inspire you. They don't point fingers. They, you know, kind of like the ABG, always be growing. They look for things to fix. You know, they accept it, whether they're to blame or not. They don't point fingers. And they're always trying to elevate and lift their team up.
Yeah. Have you been fortunate to meet many leaders like this?
I have. I've been very fortunate. You know, our current CEO is one of them. But I would say the very first taste of a great leader I had in this industry was when I was in Tampa getting my 220. The owner of that agency was such a enthusiastic, educated, well-versed, colorful man. The way I heard him speak to insureds just... It excited me, as funny as that sounds. He was a salesman that didn't sell. He would educate and he would teach and he would tell jokes and people would just naturally go with him. And I've somewhat taken that into my current, doing what I do currently. I sell, obviously, but I don't look at selling like the Wolf on Wall Street sales. I make friends with people. I explain things to people. I tell people I'm not a salesperson. I'm an educator. And I feel like he taught me a lot of what I know today in that realm.
It's very interesting that you are mentioning that he was one of your first leaders that you took as a role model. I had a conversation a few weeks ago with Karen Rowling, who is the current chairwoman of the FAA, and she was talking about the sales. She used to be a sales executive as well in her insurance agency. And she was saying, well, the way I managed to win clients was to approach them from a different perspective, from kind of female perspective of like, hey, I'm here to support you. I am here to listen to you, rather than, okay, let me sell you something, which traditionally was considered a kind of male approach. Do you experience any like this? Like, is it easier for you to be a sales executive in a man-led insurance sales world or not so?
You know, I don't even pay attention to that, honestly. I just go out and do my thing, but I would agree 100%. Like, yeah. That's kind of how I go into it. It's just a very caring, loving approach, and it's meaningful. And, you know, people can see right through you when you're being fake. And I think they can tell that I'm genuine with it. I really do care. If they call me at 9 o'clock at night, I'm answering. If they call me on a Saturday, I'm answering. If there's anything I can do to make their life easier, I'm going to do it, you know, from an insurance aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Although I'm not sure that answering at 9 o'clock at night is a healthy thing to do for you, but.
No. I always laugh. I feel like a doctor without the comma behind my name. I'm always on call.
That's a good term. Yeah. Sheila, we are recording this conversation in April 2025. The year, of course, is unfolding very fast, but we can still say that it's a beginning. What do you see as your top priorities in 2025?
Yeah. As a sales executive, obviously, my goal is always to sell more. We've got a new product that I'm working on. So I'd love to, the non-emergency medical transportation. So I'd love to excel in that a little bit more and keep the steady growth going with the assisted living. As far as my goals on the board, I've seen how hard these individuals work during COVID, it really rocked my world. They would leave their families to go take care of other people's loved ones. And then I'd see commercials on TV with these attorneys. You know, have you or a loved one been hurt by a nursing home during COVID? And it just broke my heart because I know how hard they work. So I'd love on the board to get some sort of tort reform passed, because some of the claims I see come across my desk are just very disheartening. It's a broken system, and I'd love to be able to fix that in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Personally, I would say through healing, figured out my why, and it's to open people's eyes to their greatness and elevate anybody that I cross paths with. Funny enough, like I told you earlier, I used to hate public speaking. Well, I gave my first keynote last year, and it was the best feeling I've ever had in my life. Just, I had so many people come up to me afterwards saying that that helped them, or that really made their day, or just different types of things where I really felt that I made a difference. So personally, I would like to do more of those.
And what was the topic of the speech?
It was called From Victim to Victor.
Wow.
Yeah, I spent the first half of my life in a very victim-y mindset. And I, through my ABGs, I've learned to flip that. And like I said, I've literally, I feel like, rewired my brain. I think about how I used to think 7 years ago, and it's like I'm a completely different person.
That's awesome. We also heard that you are a very dedicated sports woman.
Yeah.
Even more, you're almost like in athletic competition, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit more about that.
So I've always been athletic. I started playing fast pitch softball when I was younger, and then I just kind of let myself go. And I got up to about 260 pounds, and I'm 5'1". So living a very unhealthy life. And, you know, once I got my life together, I started really investing into fitness, and it made me feel good. So I just kept doing more and more of it, to the point where I decided to sign up for my first Spartan. I almost backed out of it, not thinking I could do it. And my friend got me to do it. And it was the beginning of, wow, I can really start to do hard things. And then there was another one that was 13 miles and 35 obstacles. And all my friends ended up bailing on me, and I wasn't going to do it. And that's when I was like, you know what? I said I was going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I ended up finishing the race. I did it all by myself. From that moment on, I live by a phrase called excuses are lame. Well, I just, anytime I come up with an excuse, I just remember that it's not worth going with the excuse. Let's get it done. And that was one of the biggest growth chapters of my life, was running that race. So now I just go for bigger and more to see what I can do. And I haven't stopped yet. So we'll see what takes me out.
This is amazing. I know also that there's a lot on your plate simultaneously. So how do you manage that? The work, the athletic, being a board member at the same time. What is the secret?
It's funny. I actually talked to one of my best friends about that this morning, and I told her I wanted to be a lot more intentional with my time. I kind of take the day as it comes and handle it to the best of my ability. I'm sure I spend way too much time on the phone, like we all do, scrolling on Instagram. So right now I'm winging it, but if you talk to me in a year, I'm going to tell you I'm intentional and have it all planned out perfectly.
I don't know. I do not quite agree to the statement that you're winging it, because if you would be just winging it, you wouldn't be doing all those things that you've mentioned.
Yeah.
Being a board member, a very active board member, meeting people, speaking, doing, you know, tell us the secret. How often do you go to the gym?
The gym is on. Okay. So that's where the intention is. That's the only thing that has a really set schedule. I'm up usually at 4:30 every morning, and at the gym by about 5:15. Yeah, so I get that out of the way, but it's the best way to start my day. It, you know, it gets the endorphins going, it gets the blood pumping, and that just, I start the day off in a great way.
Sheila, stop being shy. Being up for 4:30 every morning has nothing to do with winging your day. This is a very intentional start of every morning. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Not many people are doing that. So
no. Yeah. You know, it started with an accountability buddy. Get an accountability buddy. That's always going to get you to stick to your word. And then it just became a habit. I did it so much. It's what I do in today's world.
Yeah, that's a great advice. Start with accountability, buddy. Yep. Cool. So, Sheila, we are approaching the end of our conversation. What word of wisdom or guidance do you have for our listeners as they contemplate their leadership and development in the insurance industry?
You're going to have stressful days. Don't let a bad minute turn into a bad day. Don't let a bad day turn into a bad week. If you have the bad day, bad minute, learn from it, grow from it, and realize it's only temporary. You're going to get through it, you know, and then right around the corner is a good day. And when you have those, just embrace them and be grateful for them. Because at the end of the day, this is our one shot on this planet Earth. Live it the best you can. Do everything you want to do and smile along the way.
Hey, Sheila, if our listeners would like to learn more about you, where could they find more information?
I've got two Instagram pages. One is Sheila McGovern, and the other one is Excuses Are Lame.
Oh, wonderful. Ooh. Okay. So check it out. She has some great ideas. Sheila, thank you very much for the great conversation. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I personally learned a few new things today. I will remember, always be growing. Love it. Love it. Really. Good. Thank you. And I wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much for the invite. It was a lot of fun. And I hope you have a great rest of the day too.
Thank you.
Bye, Nita.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. If you like what you've heard, please like it and leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. If there is anyone else in your circle who can benefit from listening, please share this link with them. Remember, this is a podcast for you, and your opinion matters to me. So if there is any topic you'd like to bring up, please send me a note to nina@ninashepherd.com. I'll see you back in 2 weeks on Thursday morning. Bye for now.